The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see Kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Humans have worried about the end of the world since probably the beginning of the world. But lately, it seems like people are worried more than ever. Today, we get honest about existential anxiety that's plaguing our daily lives. Whether you think that humanity is going to hell in a handbasket, you fear that the world is literally going down in flames, or you wonder why everyone around you is so keyed up, this Honest Conversation is for you. You're listening to Honest Women, the podcast for every woman who's trying to juggle the relationships, roles, and responsibilities that come with modern womanhood and finding it all just a little harder than she thought it would be. We're your hosts, Andrea Berkeley
and Jessica Hutchison, your new besties who just happen to be therapists. And while we believe that life is hard and there's no tip or trick that will solve that, it does get just a little bit easier when we can be real with each other and talk about it honestly.
You're listening to Honest Women. Hey, Jess.
Good morning, Andrea.
Good morning. Do you know what word I love?
I'm intrigued. No.
Good. Did I hook you?
Totally. I'm like, avocado.
Wait for it.
Almond toast.
It could be anything. No, the word I love is zeitgeist. And that basically means the defining spirit or mood of a particular period of history as shown by the ideas and beliefs of the time.
Fancy.
I know.
It's very fancy for honest women or for this honest woman.
It's okay. I'll take you along with me.
Okay, good.
But if I had to describe the zeitgeist of the past 4 years, I think it would be freaked out, anxious, angry.
Dumpster fire.
Yes. Yes. Is that how you describe the vibe of the day?
I mean, I usually describe it as the worst reality television show I have ever seen. But you can't stop watching it because it's actual life.
Because you're in the Truman Show and it's what's actually
all
happening
the time.
Right
I'm
now.
Like, okay, open the little door in the sky and be like, ha, that was fun.
Right. Yeah, dumpster fire, disaster mess. And then recently it's taken on a slightly different vibe, which is this kind of constant joking about the world is ending.
Mm-hmm.
And that is my favorite thing about this type of feeling is that it leads to great dark humor.
It's the end of the world as we know it. That's in my head.
I know.
Playing
all the time.
On repeat.
All the time. I was mowing the lawn the other day. I was like, man, I wish we had budget for this show. Because if we did, we could play that in our intro.
I know. And you wouldn't have to hear me sing it. And I'm not good at singing. The real people could sing it, not me.
Subscribe to this show. Follow the show. Share the show with a friend. Maybe one day we will get enough budget to play you the real song.
And then you won't have to have Jessica singing, who's not a singer, and in fact, right, is the opposite of a singer.
Right. So I love the dark humor, the funny stories. You were mentioning a funny story the other day about your end of the world teams.
Okay, so funny story. And this was a couple years back, but one of my good friends, who's an avid listener of this show, so shout out to her. She knows who she is. She's listening right now in her car going to Starbucks. I guarantee it. Anyways, she sends me a text message a couple years ago and she said, hey, me and insert her husband's name, we're deciding who is going to be on our end of the world team. He has his, I have mine. Didn't actually question why they're separate teams. However, my first pick, I picked you.
Wow.
And what was funny, though, is my response was, that was the worst draft pick you could have picked. And we're going back and forth. She's like, wait, why? And I'm like, I am a terrible end of the world pick. I am like going to set up my chair in the middle of the street with like my glasses on and be like, cool, let's watch the show. I am not a fighter. I am not like, ooh, there's only going to be 100 people left on the earth. I'm going to fight to the end. Like, fuck that. I'm out. I'm out. I'm like, pick my husband, not me.
My kids were having the same conversation recently. Like, if there was a zombie apocalypse, who would we choose, mom or dad? And they said mom, because I'm definitely the more violent of the two of us. And the only one who is not currently armed, but would consider it. So
no, my kids should definitely pick my husband. In fact, everybody should pick my husband. Just sacrifice me to the zombies. It's totally okay. Pick my husband.
That's so funny. This whole worried about the end of the world thing isn't new. I had to do a little research. As you know, I love to do a little
research. You love to research.
And here's just a couple highlights of the last 100-ish years when people thought that the world was going to end, because these are good. Ooh. Okay, so in 1910, people thought that Halley's Comet would crash into the Earth. And there was mass hysteria. They actually branded the comet the Evil Eye in the Sky, and it prompted sales of anti-comet pills and gas masks.
Stop it.
No, for real.
Wow.
I know.
Well, I'm just thinking, wow, marketing and advertising has been doing the same damn thing for over a century now, using fear to sell a product. Okay, keep going.
Yes. Okay, so you know conspiracy theorists, doomsday cult leaders, and religious leaders have incorrectly predicted the dates of the rapture before our time. But you heard about Jonestown, right?
No.
I think it was in California, 1978. And this Jim Jones had predicted the end times, and 900 people died by suicide.
Oh, yeah, I do.
You remember.
I didn't remember the name. I knew the whole thing. Yeah, I do remember that.
I mean, really wild. And that was actually sort of like Heaven's Gate that happened in 97 when it was 35-ish people. Remember, they were all wearing the same shoes?
Yeah.
Yes. Ooh. And then there was the whole David Koresh and the Branch Davidians. Remember then Waco, where there was like a standoff?
Waco.
It was military.
Yes, Waco.
Yes, and that was in 93.
What? In the 90s, huh? Because then the one I remember the most was Y2K.
Yes.
Do you remember? I remember New Year's Eve 1999 and doing the countdown and all of us, I was in high school at the time, being like, okay, is it? And like nothing happened. Literally nothing happened. It was like the epic fail. Everything was fine.
Do you know what did happen that very night that was monumental?
No.
I had my first drink.
So did I.
Your fur?
So did I. No, fuck no.
Flyer. I did not pick that up. You know what? That was rude. I did not. The Wi-Fi is not good enough that I can see your face that well, and I did not know you were making
Just
fun
kidding,
of me.
Mom. That was totally when I had my first drink at 18 on that date.
Well, it was for me. And I remember because I was super religious and churchy growing up. And some of the older boys who had graduated our youth group, they had champagne. And I tried my first drink of champagne. I was giggling like an idiot. And one of the guys put his arm around me. He's like, you just opened a door you thought you'd never open. And I was like, no, I didn't. Yes, I did. Like 3 weeks later.
Oh my God, that's adorable.
Well, hold on. Three weeks later, I was at a hotel party with my boyfriend from The Gap. I was drinking legit Everclear from the bottle. This girl does not know.
This is why, folks, you should try alcohol before the age of 18. So you're not like in a hotel drinking Everclear champagne on New Year's Eve of 1999.
Listen, I am a
Everclear.
I'm a go for it kind of girl. I didn't know.
Man, you
I didn't
went,
know the
like,
difference.
Balls to the wall with the Everclear girl.
I literally had to look that up the other day and be like, what is Everclear? And then I was like, oh shit, I'm lucky I'm alive. I honestly,
it's like
I did
up gasoline.
Get lucky. I didn't know. Seemed like a good idea.
See, so I maybe had a drink before the age of 18, but it was like freaking Boone's Farm or like Zima.
Well,
wine coolers.
Yeah, you were. I went on the champagne to Everclear pipeline. It was because of Y2K. That's what happened. The end of my freaking sober world was right that night.
Crash.
And then, do you remember 2012? So this was really recent, where the Mayan calendar was ending, like the end of December 2012. And do you know that 10% of people worldwide thought that the Mayan calendar could predict the end of the world and reported feeling anxious that the world might end?
You know, it's so fascinating. It wasn't that long ago.
It wasn't.
But I don't really remember getting caught up in it at all. I think I was like, I have been fooled by this one too many times. This is bullshit. Or I was just really self-absorbed and didn't care. I don't know. One of the two.
Well, for me, I had two babies.
Ooh. I did not have a baby.
So that was in our lifetime. The best part of all this research was this summary point in a Business Insider article, which stated, "So far, no theories or predictions about how the world will end have proven true."
Thank you, Captain Obvious.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
The world has not yet ended.
Nope.
And yet, there's a whole group of people preparing for it, and it's just part of the public discourse. I promised that I would not say who said this, but there's, you know, people on the internet
who
are... We
can just literally say there's a lot of very known people,
yeah.
Whether it be a politician, a celebrity. I mean, a lot of people who are in the limelight, who have a very large soapbox to say these things, are saying them.
Yes. I mean, one that came out recently was, God is sending America strong signs to tell us to repent in the form of earthquakes and eclipses and many more things to come. Now, we just had an eclipse.
That's just dumb, by the way.
I know. The best part of this was a community response that says, eclipses occur every 18 months and are predictable well in advance, making them an unusual form of communication.
See, this is what I love about comments like this, though. One person is like, it's God and you need to repent. And like another person's like, it's right. Global warming and we're all melting. And I'm like, or it's just fucking life, people.
Right. Yeah, I do love the witty reply.
It's going to be me. I'm the witty. That's why I just have to not say anything.
No, you should. It's fun. I like it. It's how I get through. But you were asking questions about this in our Facebook group. And I really think that in addition to the fear of the actual end of the world, which some people have, but maybe not everybody, there's a lot more conversation around the end of things like prosperity or civility or humanity. And when we asked our friends in the Facebook group, which you should join the Honest Women podcast community on Facebook, it's where we get to connect with our listeners and friends. So we asked our friends there in the Facebook group what they fear. And they mentioned things like conflicting cultural norms around how we raise our children, climate change, the job market, crime, women's rights, the upcoming election. So there's just generally a sense that like a lot is going wrong and there's not much that can be done. So I'm wondering, do you see any themes or through lines here, Jess?
It's a lot of different things, but I think there's a common theme. There's a loss of control, which has inherently increased everybody's anxiety and injected a substantial amount of fear into our society. Mm-hmm. That's what I see as the common theme.
Yeah, and we're really not built for the kind of stresses that we have today. Our bodies are built for fight or flight. They are built for walking in the woods, meet a bear, need to survive. But we're getting hit with these micro stressors all the time, all day long, including things like all of the headlines on the internet. And it drives a sense of fear, a really embodied sense of fear.
In the last 4 years, whether my friends were more conservative leaning or more liberal leaning, all of them are now worried about the end of the world or the collapse of society. Mm-hmm. However, their reasons for it are completely different. And so you have these like echo chambers out there that just inject fear. So if I am afraid of the collapse of the modern day society, now my phone, now my computer is feeding me that narrative over and over and over. And there is no logic in fear.
Yeah. Not only is it that you tend toward groups of people who have an answer for you and who believe what you do, but our friend Marky Z, I swear,
Wiggy,
our phones are listening to us all the time. I never saw prepper shit in my Instagram feed until I started talking about this episode.
I know.
And also the things that feed the algorithm, it's where we spend our time. And of course, we're going to spend our time on things that are activating. That's just human nature. Yes. That is just human nature. I think you're also hinting at, Jess, what people do in the face of uncertainty.
Well, here's the thing about uncertainty. We as humans need to understand why something is happening or how to prepare, or naturally, we just want to mitigate the risk of something bad happening to us. And it creates this obsession. How can I make sure this doesn't happen? Mm-hmm. How can I prepare for this to happen? And I think I just want to point out that that is a normal human response to fear. It is a normal thing to want to gain a sense of security and safety in an uncertain world. The problem is you just can't, though. You can't control it.
Yeah, not at all. And I just want to echo that this is normal. This is a physiological response. We are wired to narrow in our focus on perceived threat. And really what anxiety is a heightened sense of perceived threat.
And the problem with that is, in my opinion, that perceived and projected threats have become a way in which we're living. We're bracing for these perceived threats that may or may not happen, but we've almost lost our bearings in what is perceived and what is actual.
Right. And I don't want to say that these things aren't threatening. Global warming is a great example. There is a threat. The earth is changing. There's lots of intense weather. And what can you do? What can you do? I'm not saying this in like a let's just shrug our shoulders and give up kind of way. Like, oh, just don't give a shit about anything. I'm just saying that on a day-to-day basis, your body's perception of that as an imminent threat is not serving you because, like you said, when our body is perceiving threat and we're stuck in fear, we cannot act logically. We can't even solve these problems that we're so activated about because we can't think because we're just threatened all the time. So we know that fear and anxiety that are driven by uncertainty are a problem. And yet our dear friends who are listening are probably going, yeah, So what the heck do I do? Because I do feel this way. Mm. I do feel anxious or uncertain. So what do we do?
One of the things I myself do is ask myself what I do and do not have control over. So when we look at some of the topics that you brought up at the beginning of the episode that came from our Facebook group, I, as one human being, have zero control over any of those things. And that feeling creates a lot of anxiety within me. So I have to bring it back to what can I control? If I am worried about X, Y, and Z, what can I personally do within my home, within my community to feel like I'm making an impact for the greater good? Listen, I am not going to change climate change. Me as one human being.
Right.
And again, I'm not saying roll over and pretend you can't do anything. I'm saying narrow it down to what can you actually do?
Can I just say that as a child of the 90s, I blame Earth Day for this. So we just happened to have a problem with our dishwasher. And so we had a whole week where we had no ability to wash dishes in the dishwasher. And I know there are people who are like, poo-poo on your silly little problems. Listen, this was a big problem in my life.
Because there's a big family, folks.
Yeah, there's six people living in my house. I mean, this is honestly chaos. This is the kind of thing that you need to have a lot of worry about. So I got over all of my 90s anxieties and guilt, because I feel major guilt. And I bought paper plates.
Thank you. Thank you.
And plastic spoons and forks. And guess what? It was fucking Earth Day. And my sweet and conscientious second born child was like, Mom, I'm just going to use a regular bowl and silverware and I will wash them myself because it was Earth Day. I blame Earth Day for all of my climate fears.
You know what I would say to your second born child? Like, okay, you use that water that we might run out of.
Right.
And then we're not going to have any water. Right. So you use that. I'm going to throw this plate away.
I mean, I just do think that sometimes these things that can be really well-intended can turn into fear in little minds and can also turn into this idea that we have way more control than we do. Even with social issues, you know, go and cast your vote. That's really important. Or maybe you take on a leadership position. That's great. Find a way to be involved. But getting overwhelmed and flooded and reading articles and more articles and posting on Facebook and getting into fights with strangers, that takes you out of your real life. As much as you might want to be passionate about something, you're one person, especially here in allegedly a democracy where we all have a say and not everyone agrees with you. I guess I just want all of our listeners to be really thinking about your own life, like your actual own life.
Yeah. And I would say you can ask yourself, like, do I actually have evidence to support this? Mm-hmm. Or am I reading something and inherently taking on feelings as a result of somebody else's words?
Right.
I am a big believer in go find evidence to support the opposite. Then if you can't find evidence to support the opposite, well, then maybe there is a little anxiety and fear. Mm-hmm. But I think half the problem is we only read one perspective. Mm-hmm. And if you take the time to listen or read the perspective of somebody who has a differing thought or opinion, I promise you guys, it changes so much of the scary world that we feel like, again, feel like we're living in.
Yes. And even more than reading online.
Yeah, don't do that.
There's that consuming of information. Next step is like joining our Facebook group and getting in conversation with somebody, right? That's different. But way, 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 way better than that is look at the people who are around you. Take your earbuds out when you're running your errands. Say hello to people. Look at your own kids. There's a sense of needing to be grounded and present in what's real. And then if you want to talk about issues and you're able to do that in a way that's honoring and respectful to everyone involved, I do think that those conversations are different in person because you're looking at that person's face. You're seeing them first as a human. And if you can do that, then talk about issues all that you want. That's fine. But then also give yourself a break. I just... I don't know. I think that's the best way to reduce anxiety is get out of your head and into your body and into the world.
Yeah. We are so much more tolerant when we turn it off.
Yeah.
And notice that your body feels that level of tolerance. Mm-hmm. I also want to add one thing that I kind of love and I encourage everybody to do. If you are online, confuse your algorithms. Andrea knows my algorithms are very, very confused. I get so much, it's a little overwhelming, I will say, but it's comical. The amount of like political stuff I get from both sides because I think I've confused anything and everybody because I read and just look at so many different things. However, I will say it's just given me perspective and a lot more tolerance where I might not agree with something, but I totally understand how that person got there or why they believe what they believe. Mm-hmm. And I truly believe that if we became more tolerant, all of our fear, all of our anxiety would come down. Mm-hmm.
I agree. Or train your algorithm to give you just delightful things. Mine is all mom humor. I love it. I don't have to go online and engage in scary things. I don't have to. It's just not required of me. And that's one of the things that we would recommend is if you're engaging with things that are causing you to feel anxious and fearful and stressed out, and you notice that you start to think of other people as your enemy, stop. Stop doing that.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that.
And I think you can also look at what can I do to just feel more in control. Mm-hmm. And I have friends that have prepped for the end of the world, and they feel more in control as a result of that.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Great. Mm-hmm. I am so happy that they're able to do it.
Yeah.
I can't barely be on time. So if the world ends, like I said, don't pick me to be on your team because I am the least prepared person ever.
Yes.
Right? However, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, yeah.
So look at what can I do to feel a little more in control in a very out of control feeling world.
Yes. Sometimes you just need to take action or know where your friends are who are appropriately prepared and have a list of their addresses.
Oh, I already told one of my friends, you need to stop telling people you're so prepared because we're all coming to your door. Right. Just get ready.
Right. So, and I cannot believe I'm saying this because it, okay, I'm just going to say it. This is a choice. You have to choose to want to live more peacefully in your daily life amidst all of this uncertainty. Because here is a psychology term you do need to know. Confirmation bias, it's always happening. Confirmation bias means that the more we believe in something, the more we will find evidence that confirms what we already believe. So if you believe that humanity is going to hell in a handbasket, then you're going to see over here and over here and over here and over here all the evidence that this is true. And you have to choose now to say, not that I'm going to disengage, not that I don't care, not that there isn't scary things or uncertainty in the world, but that's not going to be the frame of how I live my life day to day. You just have to choose.
Preach, girl, preach.
Okay, like I mentioned at the beginning of this episode, do you remember when we were having all those tech problems last week and we were texting back and forth?
Well, and there's like weird things going on in the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. There was a lot in like a week span.
Oh, yeah, there was that storm, that solar storm. And we just had an eclipse.
I think I sent you pictures of it. Yes. And I was like, this is it.
Honestly,
here it is.
It was
beautiful. And I'm going to get it on camera. It was gorgeous.
Right, right. The gorgeous solar storm, and there was the eclipse like a couple weeks ago. And then we're waiting for the cicadas to come. And they are
coming.
Oh,
they're here.
Oh God.
They're here.
Oh, okay.
They're here. Yeah. I got a message from my brother-in-law. He had like at least 30 in his driveway this morning. He's closer to you than me.
Gross.
They're coming.
Yeah, I've seen in our local moms groups that they're there.
They're so
okay,
gross.
So do you remember though when you said it's the end of the world? Do you remember what I said?
No.
I'm shocked that you don't remember the details of all of our text conversations, Jess. I'm very offended right now. Okay, what I said was, do you feel slightly relieved though? And then a minute later I said, I want a lead time on the world ending so I can stop using my time on stupid shit.
I do remember this now.
Yes. And you said, dude, seriously, I am not going out this stressed out. So I think this begs the question again, another 90s or 2000s reference. Remember that Tim McGraw Live Like You Were Dying song? Okay.
I went skydiving. Yeah. I went. Can you edit that to make me sound better? Thank you.
Maybe. I try. Like I said, subscribe to the show so we can get a budget and play you songs instead. No, but it begs the question, right? If the world is as scary and perilous as we think it is, then what would you do if we had like a week to live, a month, a year? What would you do differently?
You know, I've been thinking about this and I truly can't think of that much I would do differently outside of just not doing the things that stress me out.
Right.
That's about it.
Yeah.
I don't think I would go on some big fancy trip or do anything because I would be like, listen, I've been Y2K'd before.
Right.
I'm not going to go like spend all my money and do stupid crap and then be like, oh, actually, that was not the end of the world.
Right.
So I feel like I just might not worry about the little things that I worry about every single day of my life, which then, as I say it, makes me a little sad.
Yeah. Right.
Because I'm like, why do we have to worry about all the little things? But I don't know. There's some that you do.
There's some that you do. It's kind of a fun thought exercise because if the world was ending in a week, I'd do nothing. I would be totally lawless. Like not lawless. I think I'd be fruitless.
Could you go rob a bank?
Maybe. Gotta
I'll
take
totally
that trip
go with you.
No,
it'd be fun.
I would spend time with my family and friends. Mm-hmm. I would be outside. I'd eat good food. I definitely wouldn't stress about that. But the point of this question is, in the face of uncertainty, fear, stress, could we not instead say, hey, listen, none of us is guaranteed another week, month, year, 10 years, 100 years. Could we not focus on living the life that we have now in a way that just feels a little bit better in accordance with our values? You know what I would not spend any time on is giving two fucks about what someone I don't know on the internet says or thinks or feels, or really about how other people live their lives. I would be present in mine. Hmm. These are weird times, friends. A lot of people are stressed for a lot of different reasons, often, like Jess said, for opposing reasons. And we've covered some good ways to get unstuck if you're feeling fearful or anxious or uncertain. But for me, one way stands out head and shoulders above the rest. We need each other. Honest conversation, human connection, the willingness to see and help the person in front of you. If we have these things, we can get through whatever comes next, even cicadas. So if this episode made you feel less alone, would you share it with a friend? And let the friends that you haven't yet met, aka people who could listen to this podcast, let them know that Honest Women is the podcast for them by giving us a rating and writing a review. It only takes a minute, but it makes a huge impact. We will be back on Thursday answering your existential questions. Until then, stay honest, friends.
That's it for today's Honest Conversation. But don't be sad. Didn't you hear? We'll be here for you, speaking some truth and feeling some feels every Tuesday and Thursday. So make sure to follow the show so you don't miss a thing. If you love what you heard here today, we would love for you to leave a 5-star rating and a review. It helps new listeners to find the show. We truly believe that these conversations are best when they're carried out into your real life. So share this episode with a friend and check out the show notes for more ways to connect with us outside of the show. Until next time, thank you for listening to Honest Women.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.